Daf is Daf Tzadi Gimel. Tzadi Gimel is not an easy Daf. The Gemara begins on the very, very top. Ba'i minei Rami bar Chama mirav Chista. Nitaz al beged tami mahu. Let's say the blood ends up falling on a beggar that's already tame. What's the din? So what's the Shaila? If you look at Rashi in the top here, nitaz al beged tame, v'nitma b'nigyasa bo. So as the dam falls, the dam right now is a kasher dam mid-air. But as it hits the beged, it becomes tame at that moment. So mi have a dam pasul kilu nitma kodim lachin velo by kibus. Do we view this dam as if it became tame prior? Because we already learned in the Mishnah that dam tame does not require kibus. As it hits the beg, it becomes tame, and therefore doesn't require kibus. Odilma kevin de beidna de nafal Allah akati kasher hava. Or since the moment the blood's falling on, it's still kasher. It's viewed as a dam kasher. Pavi pasul psul dam vitinas. Kibus lebeged ban ke'echad. It comes at the same moment. The moment the dam becomes pasul, the beged requires kibus. Since it comes with mevas achas, maybe you would say it does require a kibus. That's the shiloh.
So the gemara. The dam is tahor until it touches the beged.
Exactly. So it becomes tame as it hits the beged.
The in-between stage.
So as there's a chiv kibus, the dam hitting it becomes pasul at the moment that beged requires kibus. So do you view it as saying since there was a moment in time, just like that moment, it was dam kasher, so it requires kibus, or no? Since as it hits the beged, it's already considered dam pasul. As it's come in, that's called dam pasul and doesn't require kibus. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna Berei de Rav Yeshua midik mibari lehachu. From the fact that the question was asked in such a way, Shema Mina, we could learn from here, Hayisal shasa kosher v'nifsala ein dama ton kibus hanimile b'zachar zeh. So do we say from this, the fact that the question was asked in such a way, again, Shmamina, I'll read it one more time. Let's say the blood had a shas kosher. V'niftala, and it became pasul before hitting the beged. So it was dam kosher, became pasul, and then it hit the beged, zeh zeh. Only then do we say it doesn't require kibus, because the dam was very pasul prior to coming into the beged, because hani mile b'zeh zeh. But if it becomes pasul at the moment it comes into the beged, bas achas, we would say it does require kibus. Perhaps we're going to say there's no difference whether it's zeh or zeh or bas achas. When the dam becomes pasul, then it's not going to require kibus. So this is the shiloh. So the shiloh itself is not very clear, and the answer is not going to be very clear either, less clear. So again, just to repeat the question, make sure we have it here. So the question becomes that if there's dam kasher, and then the dam becomes pasul, and then it comes into the beged, everyone agrees it doesn't require kibus, because it was pasul before coming into the beged. The shaila is, if it only becomes pasul as it enters into the beged, meaning the dam is kasher, but since the beged is tame, so as it enters into the beged, it becomes tame, and the requirement of kibus comes at the same time, b'vas achas, do we view that as if the dam already was pasul prior, and it doesn't require kibus? Or no, we view it as a dam coming into the beged before getting pasul, in which case it would be dam kosher in the beged, and then it does require kibus. That's the shaila, bevasa achas. So the Gemara says, it brings a raya from a completely different topic, not completely different, but different topic. Amalei plugsa de Rebbe Eliezer Rabbanon. It's a machlokas between the Matanoi and Rebbe Eliezer and Rabbanon, aliba de Rabba, according to the understanding of Rabba, and Udikadakop Daris Abai, the way Abai answers this question. Okay, that's just kind of a foreshadow of what's going to be. So Detanya. Rabbi Elazar Omer Mechatas, the Mechatas that's used for Paraduma. The water of Mechatas, Shinitma Mitarin. If Mechatas becomes Tame, it still has the ability to be Mitar, which is interesting din. So how do we know this? Sharei nida mazn alea, that you're allowed to nida, you could sprinkle on a nida. So a woman who's a nida, she's tame, and the water's going to hit her, she's tumas meis also. So she's nida and tumas meis. And now they sprinkle mechatas on her to be metaher from tumas meis. So when it falls on her body, it becomes tame because she's nida as well. And yet we still say it's tahor. So just like when we say bevas achas, if the mechatas falls on the nida, even though it's becoming tame now because she's nida, it still is metaher the tumas meis bevas achas. So too as well, if the mechatas became tame first and then fell on top of someone, it would still have the ability to be metaher. Let's look at Rashi just to make that clear. Rashi two narrow lines down says metarin esa adam mitumas meis kilo lo nitma. the mechatas that became tamei still has the ability to be metahir someone else. What's the raya? Sharei nida, says Rashi, shenitma b'meis. A woman who's a nida, she became tumas meis. Mazin aleha, you could sprinkle on her. Lifnei tvilas nidasa, before going to the mikvah for a nida, and then she could receive the sprinkling of the mechatas. V'tovelas, and then afterwards she goes to the mikvah l'shtei atumos. She goes after receiving the sprinkling of the mechata, she also needs to go to the mikvah for the tumas meis. So then she goes in. So what happens is she's nida and tumas meis. She gets sprinkled mechatas, and then she goes into the mikvah, and that mikvah, one meis, is going to metar from both the nida and from the tumas meis. So Rashi says, again, v'tovelas l'shtei atumos b'tfila achas. We never find anywhere in the Torah that the woman who's nida needs to go to the mikvah before, and only afterwards is she able to lakabel hazah the Torah kishatitva. We don't find that. And therefore, yeshmi kan rai, we have a proof from here, the mechata shenitma kodim hazah asan kinefarish rabba va'azya. We're going to use this as a raya. The case of the nida is where the mechatas became tamei at the same moment it hit her. We're going to use that to extend it to a case, even if the mechatas became tamei first and then hit a tahor or tumas meis person, it would also have the ability to be metaher them. So the Gemara says, so that's the riots. The Gemara says, Amar Rabba. Rabba says, last two narrow lines, Rabbi Akiva b'shit, Rabbi Elazar rather, b'shit that's Rabbi Akiva Rabba. Rabbi Elazar was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Elazar was just following in the derech of his Rabbi Akiva in that. Amra, the Amar Havaras Kli Agave Makum Tamei Kimunach Dami. If you take a Mechatis Kli and pass it over a something that's Tamei, so even though it's in the airspace only, we view it Kimunach Dami as if it was on that body, on that item. So we'll see Ryan in just a second, but the extension here is the sprinkling of the Nida goes on top of her. Before hitting her, it becomes Tamei mid-air, Be'avir. It's Kemunach Dami. So we see not only when it touches her, Be'vasachas, but even when it's in the airspace, it's already Tamei and still could fall upon her and Mitahir her. So we have a Raya that Mechata Shenitma is Mitarin. So what's the Raya that we know that Mechatas that passes over something Tamei, that it's going to be Kimunach Dami and Tamei itself, even though it's in the Avir? The Tanan, the Mishnah tells us, it appears in Maseches Parah, Haya Omed Chutz L'Tanur, the guy is standing outside the Tanur, the Sheretz B'Tanur, and then there's a Sheretz in the Tanur, V'Hosh Yado L'Chalon, sticks his hand to the window, V'Natas Alagin, takes the Lagin of Mechatas, So let me explain based on Rashi what happens here. So let's say this is the wall and there's a there's a window. Right here, mechatas here. And then there's a tanner here that opened up not from the side but from the top. There's a tanner and there's a sheretz inside the tanner. And I'm standing here. So I want to reach over to get the mechatas over the oven. I get it. I pull it over the oven. It's passing over the sheretz here. That's the case. So the Gemara is Mishnah is describing. So again, I read that inside again. It's Nan Haya Omed Chutz L'Tanur V'Sheretz B'Tanur V'Hosh Yadu L'Chalon. I stick my hand to the window V'Natas Lagin V'Vira P'Tanur. It passes over the Tanur that has a Sheretz inside. Rabbi Akiva Metame, because he views this as Kimunach Dami and Chachamim Metarin U'Baha Pligi. This is the Nekudas HaMachlokes that the Rabbi Akiva Savar Kimunach Dami. It's as if it's placed down. Rabbanan Savri Lav Kimunach Dami. So this is the Raya again that we have. So too now by Nida, if Mechatas pass over the Nida, it requires, it becomes Tameh. But even though Mechatas is Tameh, it is going to have the ability to be Metahir, the woman. So we haven't got back to Kibbutz yet. We will get there. So then the Gemara says, before finishing off this whole discussion, Esivei Abaye. Abaye asks a question. Mo de Rabbi Akiva Baza Shevira Agabi Klecheres Tameh Agabi Mishkav Moshev Tameh Shitahora. Rabbi Kiva only says din about carrying the mechatas, but during the hazah, when sprinkling over, throwing the water over, there he says, even though it passes over these things that are tameh, it remains tahor. So meaning in our case of the need of the sprinklings over her, it does not become kumunach dami. Kumunach dami is only when the mechatas is in the initial pitcher, but during shas hazah, it will not be viewed kumunach dami. Again, Modi Rabbi Akiva Bahazah, Shavira Agabi Klerik, again, Bahazah Dafka, the sprinkling. Shavira Agabi Klecharis Tameh, that passes over something that's Tameh, or Agabi Mishka Moshev Tameh, that She Tahora, that the Hazah remains Tahora. She'ein Lachadavar Shemetami Lamala Kilamata, the only thing that had this, the ability to metami something from the bottom to the top, is Ela Kizai Simina Mace, Vishakola Mahihilim. only kazayis mace, which has a din of tumas oil, and other types of things, lasuye evan hamunugas, which is referring to a stone that has tsaras on it, only that's a din of tumas oil. But other tumas, like a sheret and nevela, don't have the ability to metame up. That was a special chumrah by carrying mechata water. But during the hazah, Rabbi Akiva thinks it's not metame. So when it passes over the nida, it does not become tame mid-air. So Ella Amar Abai says, the chuli alma lav kumunach dami. So now bring it back to our case of, so if it's really not din of oel, other than tumas mace and evan menuga, so how come when you pass the mechatas over the tanner, did Rabbi Akiva think it's tame? He holds, well, it's lav kumunach dami. So Abai has a whole other approach here. Abai says, the chuli alma lav kumunach dami. Even Rabbi Akiva thinks when you bring the mechatas over the tanner with a sheret, we don't view it as if it's a munach dami. So what's the machlokas? Why does Rabbi Akiva think it's tame then? V'hacha b'hacha mifugi. The Rabbi Akiva savar gazrinan shemayan nuach. We're concerned maybe you'll drop it. You might need a rest. It's heavy. You might place it in the tanur, and then it will become a tame. So as a gazeri says, it's matame only out iser dirbanan. Rabbanan savri lo gazrinan. There is no such gazera. But even Moda Rabbi Akiva will agree, not every case is tame. Habazah came in the nafik v'nafik. Rabbi Akiva's chashash only is when you're carrying the water over, you might get tired and place it in the tanner. But once you throw it, you can't rest anymore. You have no option. It's in the middle of the air. You can't just stop the hazah, catch it, and put it down. So then he'll agree, certainly, there's no chashash, and when you do hazah over something tame, it definitely will not become tame. So okay, back to our case here. Sprinkling the water over the nida, everybody will agree it will not be kemunach dami and will remain tahor in the air until it actually hits her. So then the Gemara says, so now what's the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanan? So Rabbi Elazar above thought that the mechatas has the ability to, even though the mechatas became tame, it could still be metar her. So b'may kembithlgi. So the Gemara says, this is the following machlokas. Amar Abaye, b'danin tuma keduma, mituma shibaoso shav. That's a shaila. Can you extrapolate from a case something that had tuma prior? Is it meaning, in other words, is the din of zeh or zeh the same din as bas achas? That's really the shaila here. So the case of nida is a case of bas achas. Can you learn then? We say bas achas the mechatas touches her, it becomes tame, but also is matar her. Can you extend from a case of bas achas to say even if those were separate, meaning mechatas became tame first? And then can it be metaher? Could you learn from basachas to zeachazeh? That's the question. That's what the terminology means here. Again, the b'may kemiflagi arbaye b'danin tuma keduma. Can you learn tuma keduma mituma shiva osasha, which is a zeachazeh keduma zeachazeh? Can you learn zeachazeh case from a case of osasha, which means basachas? That's the machlokas. Mar saver danin. Rabbi Elazar says you can, just like the mechatas that touches the nida, even though it comes with basachas, works. Even if the mechatas was tamei beforehand, b'zechazer, it also can be metaher. Mar sever ein danin. The chachamim argued and said, no, only mechatas that became tamei b'vas achas has the ability to be metaher. But was mechatas was tamei beforehand nitma, it does not have the ability to be metaher. That's the whole machlokas.
What's the point in one that holds it was tamei beforehand? What's this one to say? I understand b'vas achas, okay, but if it was tamei before, so then why should that work?
I hear. It could be you view even b'vas achas could be viewed to a certain extent as zeh achazeh. I'm suggesting, I don't know, that if it has ability to touch, so that means the dam never became into the woman or into the. We'll get to the kibbutz in a second. The woman never became tahor. It came in being tame and still had the ability to be metaher her. B'vas achas is just if you break it down in moments, it's going to be in like frames. If you, if Charlotte Thompson, there's some Zerachazer within Bavazach. That's what I would guess, but I didn't look into it. It's a good question, though, I think. So now that would be the answer to our question above about Kibbutz, about Zerachazer Bavazach. It's the same exact model now. I mean, we say everyone agrees by Zerachazer that Zerachazer, it's not, that Dam was Kasher, became Tamei, and then hit the Beged. Everyone agrees it doesn't require Kibbutz, Zerachazer. So could you learn from Zechazeh to the same din of Vas Achas as well to say, if it came Vas Achas b'tameh, it also wouldn't require kibbutz? Or do you distinguish between Zechazeh and Vas Achas? That's the whole, they said this, the answer is Machlokas of Rebbe Lazar and Rebbanan from the case of Mechatas. So then the Gemara says, Rava Amar, Rava has a whole other pshat to this machlok, is by Mechata, as follows. Rava Amar, Duchulyama, Ein Dan. And everyone agrees you cannot learn a case of Bezer Chazer from Bas Achas. They're two different parshios. B'hacha b'hacha miflagi. What's the machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbanim? As follows. The Rabbi Eliezer savar hazah tzricha shir u'mitztarfin hazah. So Rabbi Eliezer thinks you need a shir for his hazah. A kol shu is not sufficient. And if you require shir, he also allows you to combine multiple hazahs. So let's say this is a half a hazah, that's a half a hazah. I could combine the two of them together. We'll just explain how that connects in just a moment. And Rabbanan argued savri hazah ein tzricha shir. It doesn't require shir. And a kol shu is going to be sufficient. So what is the machlokas and how does this relate? So if you look at Rashi, the Chuliyama, around halfway down the Y lines, the Chuliyama ain't done him. Rabbi Elazar, Tuma, Kaduma, Mutuma, Kaduma, Yalef. He does not learn that. The Rabbi Elazar, Savar, Hazat, Tzri, Chashir. Requires a certain amount of water being sprinkled on the Dabar Tameh. Umitstarfin, Lahazals. And you can combine multiple Hazals to amount to the Shir necessary. The Chinaf, Lahazah, Kemaisa. When the first sprinkling falls, Allah, Akati Laf Hazahi Latara. Doesn't work because she's Nida. V'afagav Shinit Mes Hazari Shona Kishinagaba Choseretu Mistarefes Imashni Elashim Ashir. So you sprinkle a half Hazah on her first. So that's not enough. He needs a full Shir. But now the Hazah is Tameh because she's a Tameh person. But so now you do a second sprinkling. You could combine the second sprinkling with the first sprinkling. Now, even though the first sprinkling is already tummy because it's on her body, we have the ability to mitzari for the ashir. So we see that a hazah shenitma mechata shenitma is considered kosher to mitahir according to Rabbi Eliezer. Rabban felt no. You need a kol shu, and therefore you can't bring a rye. Once you do the first kol shu, she's already tahir. And you can't bring a raya to combine hazah that's already nitma from before. And that's what the machlokes boils down to. Okay.
It's such an interesting comment because there's no estarfis. In other words, whenever we do chatzis shir or something like that, there's always some sort of, it's part of one. In other words, this is totally separate.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a zman that has to be done to mitzarif it or not. But you have a chatzis shir.
But we see that doesn't work. The fact that she sprinkled half and still tummy is.
But no, it still but has the ability chazi liyas terufe, and as long as you do the other half, then you could combine it together. So the Gemara now says, quoting from the Mishnah, chatas psula. The Mishnah told us if it's a chatas psula, it does not require the dam from a chatas psula doesn't require kibus. So the Gemara says, Tanir Rabbanan midama, mida from some of the blood. Not all types of dam require kibus, only some types, only midama from some of them. Midam krisher of lomid dam psula. So it's exactly the cause of the dam psula doesn't require kibus. Rabbi Kiva Omer ha'isol shas ko kosher. Let's say the dam was from a kosher carbon and it was permitted and somehow nifsula daman ton kibus. If there was a moment in time where this dam was kosher, even though it became possible later on, that still requires kibus. But if it's a case lo ha'isol shas kosher, if it was mamish mechatas psula and never had a moment in time where dam was considered kosher. It doesn't require kibus. And then the third sheet is Rabbi Shimon Omer, it does not require kibus at all, whether or not it came into this world without a shas kosher. It had a shas kosher, if lamaisa right now, it's not kosher, it doesn't require kibus. So my time of the Rabbi Shimon, what's his basis? Ksiv osa, uksiv midama. Two different exercise causes. One to exclude something that didn't have a shasa kosher, and chad lehecha dehaisel a shasa kosher. The other pasuk tell me, even when it did have a shasa kosher, since right now it's nifsala, even that doesn't require eton kibus. Rabbi Kiva osa prat l'truma. He thinks the word osa is excluding something else. It's excluding truma. That what? Rashi says referring to merikah v'shtifa. Merikah v'shtifa, the din of having to kasher the kalim that was used for the karbanos, a keli used for truma does not require merikah shtifa, nothing to do with the kibus. And then Rabbi Shimon l'tameh damar kachim kalim ein tuna merikah v'shtifa kol shekein truma. Rabbi Shimon doesn't need to exclude truma because Rabbi Shimon is l'shita so that he holds in general that only kachim require merikah v'shtifa. Kachim kalim don't require merikah shtifa, so certainly truma, which is a lower level than kachim kalim, certainly truma doesn't require merikah shtifa, and there's no pasuk needed. Osa, therefore, is available for Rabbi Shimon to tell me that even dam shahayisel shas kosher, if it's now nifsala, it doesn't require kibbutz. The Mishnah at the bottom tells us, nitas min hatzavar al beged ein ton kibbutz. If the blood squirts out of the neck of the animal, it doesn't require kibbutz. So if it sprinkles, it ricochets off the corner, the coin sprinkled on the corner, ricochet to hit the beged, or from the yesod, that too, ain telon kibbutz. If let's say nishbach al ritz, but the blood spilled onto the floor, v'asra, and the coin gathered up and puts it into a kli, ain telon kibbutz. Again, ain telon kibbutz. So what does require kibbutz? This is the line, ain telon kibbutz el adam shenishkabel b'kliver royal hazah. Only sign that's caught by the kli mishkabel, and it's roy to do sprinkling on the mizbech. If blood comes from that kli onto beged, that's the only type of dam that requires kibbutz. The Gemara quotes a brayse Tanur Rabbanan. Yochel nitaz min atzavar al beged yitan kibbutz. One may think if it's sprinkled from the neck of the cow or the sheep, it does require kibbutz. Tam lo ba'ashe yazeh, that which it sprinkles. Meaning lo amarti l'cha ela b'roi laza. Only something that's fit for sprinkling. Meaning has to fall into a kli first. But if it goes directly from the neck to the beged, where it never was roi laza, that doesn't require kibbutz.
What about my bird? Squirted.
I thought we said the dam chatas only. Does we discuss ophos in general? I don't know if we discussed ophos. Yeah, I don't remember. Did we mention it? Yeah, I don't remember already. Not sure. Okay, well, we'll be a lookout for it. So the Gemara now quotes another brayse, last two lines. Yatani idach yachol nitaz min akeren min ayisod yitan kibas. If it sprinkled off, ricocheted off the corner of the mizbech, it should require kibbutz. Tamalav asher yazeh prat lezeh shekvar huzeh. That excluding something that already was used for sprinkling, that doesn't require kibbutz. Nishbech al ritzbet, it spilled onto the ground. So the Gemara says, ha sulamali, why do you need another additional thing here? Gemara explains, ma tam kamar. The Mishnah is explaining the reasoning. Ma tam nishbech al ritzbet v'asu ein ton kibbutz. Why, if it fell on the floor and they scooped it up, it doesn't require kibbutz? Lefisha ein ton kibbutz ella dam shenishkabel b'kliver roy laza. That's the only type of dam that requires kibbutz. Roy laza, the Mishnah said, has to not only be caught in the kli, it has to also be fit for sprinkling. Lemute mai, lemute kibba pachas mechdeaza b'chlizeh. To exclude a case, if you caught half the shear needed in one kli and half a shear caught in another kli, that does not require kibbutz if it sprinkles off of those kalim. D'tanya, how do we know this? The Braisa tells the Rabbi Chalafta Bar Shaul Omer, Kiddush Pachos, we're talking about now Para Duma for a moment. The Gabi Mechatas again. Rabbi Chalafta Bar Shaul Omer, Kiddush Pachos Michdei Azaya Bechlizeh. Upachos Michdei Azaya Bechlizeh. That you have half a shear needed for the mechatas hazah in one kli, half a shear needed for the other in the other kli, lo kiddush, it doesn't work. So that's the din by mechatas. Has to all be in the same kli. So now on that, ibaylu, and they asked, bidam au, but what's the din by dam? Is the dam by, now our case of dam chatas, can you mekabel and miskadesh in the two different kalim? Hil mahu, do we say hilchasahi, hilchasah lo gamrina? Do we say the halacha by paraduma? The mechatas needs to be all in one kli. Is that a halacha Moshe Mesinai? And we have a yesod that mehilchas alo gamrina. We can't learn halachas from halacha Moshe Mesinai. O dilma, hasam my time adichse v'tava b'mayim. Or do we say the paraduma case, mechatas, is not based on the halacha, the Moshe Mesinai, it's actually based on the pasuk. It says v'tava b'mayim, that you need to have a shear of tvil b'mayim, hachanami v'tava b'dam. In which case the same pasuk would apply v'tava b'dam. You have to do all one type of one kli. So Gemara says, so what's the answer? Tashma, Damer Rabbi Zreika, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Af Badam lo Kiddush. Even Badam, the din is, it's not Miskadesh if it's in separate Kalim. You have to have the shear of Badam in one Kli. Amar Rava Tanya, the Braisa tells us, V'tava v'lo mispik. The halacha is, you have to catch the blood, you have to do a Tevila, with this going on a Mitzorah, I believe, right? The Tava HaKoin, it says, Ba'o Badam. That the coin sticks his finger into the dam, and lo, he can't use like a sponge of some sort. Misapik doesn't work. Badam means Ache Badam Shir Tvila Meikaro. That the dam has to be caught, there's enough dam with the proper shear. And Minhadam means Minhadam Shibinin. We'll see what that means in just a moment. The last drasha. So if Itzrich, the Gemara explains, the Michtav Badam, you have to say Badam, the Kasa Rachman of a Tavel. If it just said the coin is of a Tavel, it dips in. Even if there's not enough shear in the beginning of the dam, it's not, as long as it's a tvila, we don't care about the chefta, how much dam there is. That's why kasev rachman abadam, there has to be enough dam to do a tvila from. Because rachman abadam, if it's just a dam, even if you use a sponge of some sort, he doesn't need to use a finger, kasev rachman abatavel, he has to do a dipping. That's what we learn from fatavel abadam by Mitzorah. But what do we learn? What's his last joshua min hadam min shebe'inyan lemute mai? What exactly is a dam shebe'inyan referring to? The Gemara explains Amar Rava Lemute Shiraim Shebe Etzba, that any remaining on the blood on the finger, meaning if you the Kohen does a tefillah, then he sprinkles, so if there's some left here, he can't use Shiraim, he has to do another tefillah for each of the sprinklings. So the Gemara says, Messiah le Rebbe Elazar, the Amar Rebbe Elazar, Shiraim Shebe Etzbaim. So this supports what he says, or it's in line with what he says, that the any leftover blood on the etzba is considered shiraim and doesn't require and it's possible. So the Gemara now says, Amar le Rabin Barav Adel Rav Amri Tamidech Amar Amran Tanina. We have a mission that says, Haya Mazev Nitza Haza Miado Achlo Haza Taun Kibus Misha Haza Ein Taun Kibus. So what's going on here? The Brisa says that Haya Mazev Nitza Haza Miado, if he did sprinkling and it came off, Achlo Haza Ton Kibus, it requires Kibus, but Misha Haza, once he did the sprinkling, ain't Ton Kibus. So what's going on? How do you understand this price? What does it even mean? My lab Hachi Kamar is not saying as follows. Achlo Gamar Mila Hazos Ton Kibus. Until you finish all the sprinklings, it requires Kibus of the Dam. But Misha Gamar Lahazos ain't Ton Kibus. When you finish do all the sprinklings, it doesn't require Kibus. So what's the Kasha here? We're talking about the Shiran that's left over on the finger here. So again, that if Achlo Gamar Milazos, if you didn't finish all the seven sprinklings of the Dam and it fell from the Beged, it requires Kibus. But once you've done all the seven sprinklings that are needed for this carbon, so then anything remaining does not require Kibus. So we see from here that the Shiraim actually is not considered possible, it's actually considered Kosher. Because after you do one sprinkling, you still have six more to go. We're talking about like in the Parochas for the carbon. So we're allowed to use all those shirayim left over on the finger. It's not considered pasul. And if any of it falls onto the beged, it requires kibbutz. So it doesn't become pasul. It's still considered dam kasher. While above we said the blood left over on the finger of the kohen is considered pasul. So which one is it? So Gemara says you misunderstood the statement. Lo, halchi kamar. Ad shel yatsa hazam yado ton kibbutz. If you dipped it in, before it did one sprinkling, and the blood fell off onto the beged, it requires kibus. Mishiyata, once he did one hazah, once he did one sprinkle, miyado, then anything on there actually ain't tongue kibus. We're not talking about all the sprinklings were complete or not. We're talking about each individual hazah. He does one hazah, so anything left on that blood is considered shiraim and would be possible, wouldn't require kibus. So it is consistent with what we said above by the Mitzora as well, that once you did one sprinkling, the leftover blood shiraim is pasul. It also wouldn't require kibus. Then the Gemara says, "Esive Abaye, Gamar milahazos." He finishes all the sprinklings. Mikaneach yada begufel shapara. So he, after he sprinkles the paraduma, he wipes his hand clean on the cow. Okay, so gamar in lo gamar lo. Only if he completes all the sprinklings does he wipe his finger, the blood, the water onto the cow. But if not, so then he wouldn't wash it. So what's the rai from here? What's the question from here?
Shiraim only after.
Only after, but before, if he hasn't finished all them, he doesn't have to wipe it off. He could still reuse it, which tells us that the remaining hazah, the remaining water on the etzba, is still considered kasher. So Amar Leh, he says, Gamar mikanech yada begufo shapara. Lo gamar mekanech etzbo. No. The difference is, once he completed all of them, he does that. It seems like different fingers, I guess he's using, it seems, maybe. So,
because there he's finished by the cow, he wipes his hand.
Once everything's done.
He's
done. The whole hand.
By the finger, he still had more to do.
So each one, he would, if he, lo gamar mekanech etzbo. If he didn't finish it yet, he's still doing sprinklings, he has to wash his finger in between each one. The blood's going to, water's going to get all over his hand. So, or the blood's going to get all over his hand. So again, each after each sprinkling with his finger, he cleans his finger and does it another time. And when he's done with all the sprinklings, he has to clean his whole hand and he rubs it on the cow. So Gemara says, Bishma, I understand. Gamar mikanech yada begufo shapara. When he finishes all the sprinklings, he wipes all his hand on the side of the cow. That makes sense. Shenem arvasar fesapara le'enav. He's going to burn the rest of the para. It's all going to get burnt together. Elet bo. If he's going to clean his finger after each sprinkling, he cleans it again onto the par on the cow. So how is that allowed? What's the problem? Because the way they explain here, it's going to get disgusting. Your finger's going to have a hair all over it, and you're not going, it's going to be a chatzitza of some sort to be able to do a new sprinkling. So you do one sprinkling, he washes his hand on the cow to dip it in, but there's going to be hair all over his finger. That's not going to work out well. So what's he cleaning his finger off in between and sprinkling? Rabbi Abai says, Besfas Mizrak, on the lip of the Kli, Kedichseva Kiparozov. So what happens is the Kohen dips it in, sprinkles it, wipes his hand on the edge of the Kli to clean the blood. He does another dip, sprinkles, and does it each time. After he's done with all the sprinklings, his hands, I've got blood all over the hand now. He wipes his hand all over the part, even though there's going to be some hair that gets dirty from his hand, he's already done with his avoda. The Mishnah now tells us, Nitas al ha'or, let's say it sprinkles it onto the skin of the animal, ad shelo hufshat, and before it's been skinned. So there's some blood that gets on the skin of the animal, so that's not a problem. Ain tam kibbutz, you don't require kibbutz. The Gemara is going to explain why not. Misha hufshat, but let's say that you skin the cow, and then blood got onto that the leather that's on the floor now, tam kibbutz, that does require kibbutz, now that's detached, separate from the cow. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Elazar argues, says, Amr afmi hufshat, hufshat. Even if it's been skinned, and blood falls on it, you still don't need it. Why not? Rashi explains, af misha hufshat, calls man shalom nitkan liyot kli, ain tam kibbutz. It's not a kli yet. Even though it's skin, you can make it into a kli. Right now, it's simply the skin of an animal. Only something that's roy to receive tuma does it require kibbutz. But a leather that's not made into a keli is not a kli, and is not makabel tuma, in which case doesn't require kibbutz. Then the Mishnah says, "Eino taun kibbutz elab makum hadam v'davar shuroy lekabel tuma b'roy lekibbutz." There are three requirements needed when you apply the din of kibbutz. Number one, it has to be only the area where the blood hit. You don't need to wash the whole kli. Only have to assign that to roy lekabel tuma and something that is actually washable. Those are three requirements to require kibbutz. Echad a beged, echad a sak, echad a or, whether it's a cloth, whether it's a sak, a bag of some sort, whether it's some skin that is has a purpose to it. These things, teunin kibbutz, they require washing. The kibbutz b'makom kadosh has to take place. The laundering takes place in the base of Mikdash. V'shvias a klicheres b'makom kadosh, and when you have to break a klicheres, you use a klicheres to cook the basar kadoshim in it, you can't kasher klicheres, so you break it. It has to be broken in the makom kadosh, in the base of Mikdash. And the Mirik Vishtifa, the cleaning out and the kashering of the other kalim used to cook the Basar Kachrim, also Bichli Nechoshes, B'makum Kodesh, has to also be in the base of Mikdash, Ezech Homer, Bechadas Mikachri Kachrim. These dinim here of the kibbutz is a din that's unique only to a Karban Chatas, not to the other Karbanos. Okay.
What's that mean? What's the Chomer?
The requirement of kibbutz. The kibbutz only applies to the Karban Chatas.
The
kibbutz of the dam only applies to kachadas, doesn't require to other kachay kachim. Okay, we'll stop here and we'll mit Hashem.